Ask the Lord to speak to your heart this morning. Father, we are here again because of you. We are here because of you. Speak to our hearts, precious Lord. Let your word bear fruit in our lives, that we be not just hearers of your word, but doers of your word. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory this morning. Unto you shall all flesh gather. And again, we have gathered unto you. Speak to our hearts. Meet us at the deepest spots of our need. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. And the church will shout a louder amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to be continuing the part 2, keeping faith in hard times. Keeping faith in hard times. One of the times in which it is most difficult to keep faith is when we are going through tough times. Just like I said earlier, it is easy to keep worshiping God, to keep serving God, to keep praising God when things are good. Am I right? Yes. It's easier to keep serving God when things are good. In fact, that was the bone of contention, and that was the argument that the devil proposed before God because of Job. He says, does Job serve you for nothing? Even the devil himself understands that it is easy for us to keep serving God when things are working and when things are good. He said to God, Job is serving you because you have blessed him, because you have increased him, and because you have done what? Prospered him. And that's why he is serving you. And he told God, he says, put your hands and touch the things he has, and you will see he will stop serving you. And God said, okay, I give you the permission. Go ahead. Touch the things he has, but don't touch what? His life. And the devil walked away happily, thinking he had gotten Job. He went there in a few minutes. Everything Job had was down. All the cattle, the building collapsed, his children, everything was gone. But Job continued serving God. And the devil came back again to God and he said, Job is still serving you because there is something I have not touched yet. So a man will give anything he has for his life. I have not touched it yet. That's why he's still serving you. And God said, is that the case? Okay, go and touch that one. You know, initially, God prevented him and said, don't touch him. Don't touch his life. But when the devil returned, God said, okay, go touch Job and let's see. And this time, he afflicted Job with sore. And the Bible says, from the head of his crown, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet was what? Sore. Sore. Brethren, you think you have seen trouble or problem. May God help you not to see the type of Job's problem. Because even the friends that came to console him, the Bible says when they got there and they saw all that has befallen Job, Scripture says for 7 days they were silent. They could not speak. For 7 days they just sat on the floor and were looking at Job. Job was looking at them. Morning passed, day came. They were just looking at each other. Until after 7 days, then one of them summoned courage to start speaking. Because they saw all that has befallen Job. But in the midst of all these things, Job was consistent. I showed you that first key in the morning. Guard your heart. The moment our heart is made up, that no matter what happens, No matter what is moving on in our lives, it is God or nothing else, then we are set. Praise the Lord. Job's mind was, heart was made up. We saw the second key, meditate on the word of God. And I say that meditating on God's word is very important. If you are going to keep faith in trying times, keep reflecting upon the word of God. It's not very easy. It's not very easy. Are you listening to me? It's not easy. But when times are tough, if you are going to keep moving on, keep on meditating upon the word of God. It helps you to build faith. It helps you to keep believing. It helps you to stay on track. And then the third thing we must do is to pray with faith. Somebody say, pray with faith. Look at Mark chapter 11. I take it off. I continue from there. Verse 24. Pray with faith. Thank God for the testimony of our sister and how God delivered her brother. It was a prayer of faith. When we pray with faith, we are sure that God will hear us. God is not deaf. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall what? Have them. When ye pray, believe that you have received them, and ye shall have them. If you are going to keep faith and scale through in trying times or in hard times, friends, you must learn to pray with faith. In the face of adversity, spend time in prayer and ask God to supply specific needs as He promised in His word. Prayer is very, very powerful. Believe me, prayer is powerful. When you are going through trying times, learn to pray with faith. And as you pray, believe God that the things you have asked of Him, that God will do what? Grant unto you. As a matter of fact, faith is a major spiritual virtue for any transaction with God. Any transaction we are going to have with God, faith is important. Faith is what? Any dealings we'll have with God, faith is important. I was in a conference over last week in Asaba, and there was something that the man of God shared that struck my heart so much. And he said that the major tool for financing ministry is what? Faith. And that word hit my heart so hard. You know, many times you would have thought that what you need to finance projects in your life, the same thing applies in our lives. Are you listening to me? The major tool we need to finance our businesses, finance things in our lives, is what? Faith. Faith works in every dimension. The moment you believe God for something, you will see that thing happen, friends. Faith. Faith. But unfortunately, most times, rather than build our faith in God, we put our hope and expectations on men. And that's why we get disappointed. Are you trusting God for something? Is there expectation you have? There's a plan you want to achieve. You have a budget, and the money is not there. Friends, the major tool you require to see it done is what? Faith. Believe God that that thing will happen. Believe God that that business will be established. Unfortunately, because many people have not built their faith, it is difficult to see things happen. It's difficult. But the moment you have built your faith, maybe you want to get married, and to you, you look around, you don't have enough money with you. Friends, it's still possible to get it done. The major spiritual virtue For any transaction with God is what? Faith. The moment you believe that this thing you want to do, you will get it done. Somehow, God will help you find a way around it, and you will see it happen. There have been testimonies of people who went through school without a sponsor. Have you had such testimonies before? Somebody went through school, and he or she cannot come out and say, this is the person that sponsored me through school. But somehow he believed that this thing he wants to do, he would achieve it. And he put faith to work. And in all period of 4 years, God took him through the school and he graduated. There's a young man like that I know. In fact, even when he came out of school, the only little challenge he had was that he came out of school, there were still few debts he was owing in his final year, that they said they would not give him the certificate, but the young man came out of school nonetheless, and he was excited. He said, at least he has finished. He will now have to run around a bit, pay a few bills, and then get his certificate. Are you following me? The major thing you need for any transaction with God is faith. Is faith. It's not money. You want to go through that school, the major thing you need is not what? Money. It's faith. Just believe God. God will cause a supply somehow. When you pray, pray with faith. Pray with faith. We've seen cases of people who wanted to get married and they are given a very heavy list and they just believe God that this thing, this project must be accomplished. And how it will come to pass, they don't know. But all through it, God saw them through. It's faith. Faith. Anything you want to do in life, the major thing you need is what? Faith. You want to set up that business? Friends, the first key you need is not idea, it's faith. Believe God, you can do it. Put all your hope in God and trust Him. Believe me, you will see that thing happen. The scripture says, to him that believes, all things are what? To him that believes, all things are possible. The real limitation we have is that we have not believed God enough. That is the real thing keeping us. We have not believed God enough. The moment you get to a point where you believe God, no matter the circumstance around you, you will see that result. Praise the Lord. So it's important. To him that believe, all things are possible. When we are going through tough times, we should pray with faith. Believe God that God will see you through. It was almost akin to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had such great faith. They believed that God will see them through. That no matter what happens, they will not bow to any image. And King Nebuchadnezzar will tell them again, we'll give you the second option or the second chance. Now, if you are ready, we'll blow the trumpet again. We'll sound the dulcimers, the psalteries, and all other kinds of instruments. We'll sound it again. If you are ready this time, we'll allow you. And the young man smiled, said, King, we can never be ready. Friends, you can never be ready to get to a time when you will bow to the devil. The devil hates to hear that kind of thing. He said, I can never be ready. No matter how you push me, I can never be ready. I heard the story of a young man, lecturer in a school, who was doing everything he could to get to a female student. And then he told her, he says, you will never pass this my course. And the young lady looked at him and he said, if you ever try anything, you will not leave before the next day. And the man was surprised at that kind of boldness. You see, when the wicked understands that there is something at work in you, they become afraid. Say, you can't try it. I kill you before your time. And believe me, friends, the same man who was plotting against this young lady eventually went down. It still brings also the story of Mordecai and Haman. Praise the Lord. So we must build our faith in God. Build your faith in God's word, and God will see you through. Praise the Lord. The fourth key you need in tough times is to renew your mind. This is very important too. Renew your what? Your mind. When you are going through hard times, friends, keep your mind renewed. Our thinking influences how we feel and what we believe. Yes. What we think influences how we do what? How we feel. I've said this time and again, it is sight that provokes what? Appetite. Sight. Sight provokes appetite. How we think influences how we what? How we feel. On the contrary, it is not appetite that provokes sight. It is sight that provokes appetite. There are things you may never desire until you do what? See them. That's why today, there are products they keep advertising. Is there anybody who doesn't know about Coca-Cola? But why do they keep advertising it? You wonder, why do you waste money advertising the products we already know? Advert is not only meant to create awareness. Are you listening to me? Advert is not only meant to create awareness. Because as they're advertising it, whether you like it or not, how many of you have been on your own? No, you were not hungry, nothing. Until you just saw someone pass with ice cream, you desire to lick it. It never crossed your mind, you had no desire for it, but the moment it passed, you desire to eat it. That's how it works. Now, if that ice cream had never crossed your path, you wouldn't have ever thought about it. But the moment he starts blowing that horn, boo, 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 and pass. Because you have seen him in the first place, the trouble had begun. And that's why they keep on advert. Because they know that the more they can get you to remember Coca-Cola, the more you desire to drink it. So as often as possible, they put their billboards. When you pass, you see it. When you pass, you see it. So the more you see it, the more you desire to have it. It's a strategy. Because sight will always provoke appetite. Our thinking influences how we feel and how we behave. Your mindset can cause your life to be out of line with God's will for you. As we face hard times, we could find that we can become focused on them. Then this frustrating set of events could begin to shape our world thinking. We could become focused on the circumstances and situations we are going through, then it becomes a source of limiting factor to our lives. That was what happened to the children of Israel. When they went to spy the land, read through the scripture very well. The Bible made it clear that the ten of those men brought an evil report. That's what the scripture calls it. It didn't call it a false report. Because their report was true. It was true. The Bible says they brought an evil report. What was evil about the report? They saw giants. And truly, they saw giants. Those men were giants. In fact, God had told them before, I am sending you to a nation greater and mightier than you are. It was God that said it to them by himself. The men of Anak, of whom you have heard it say, who can stand before them? That was what God was saying. I'm sending you to them to go and conquer them. They are greater than you. They are mightier than you. It has been said in a proverb, who can stand before them? But it became evil because when they got there, actually they saw giants. But rather than hang on the word of God that has told them that they would overcome those people and take over their land, they believed in a report that was false or that was wrong. Praise the Lord. They saw the giants And they allowed what they saw to affect them. And they said to Joshua, he says, we cannot go. These men are stronger than us. They are mightier than us. To Moses, he said, they are giants. And to worsen the situation, they said to Moses, as we were looking at them, in our eyes, we looked like grasshopper to them. Now, that is bad enough, because that was the way they saw them. Praise the Lord. But they went on to tell him, they said, and we are also sure, from the way they were seeing us in their own eyes, they saw us like grasshoppers. Now, how do you know the way they were seeing you? That was a big problem. It's bad enough to say that when you saw something, it was big for you, you can't handle it. But to now say, when that thing was seeing me too, it saw me also like grasshopper. These are the people God is saying, go and take over the place. And God got so angry when he heard those words. God said to them, I have forgiven you 10 times. But because of this thing you have said, this one, say, I won't forgive you again. Say, for this one, I won't forgive you. You will wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Every day for a year. Until as many as they are that brought this evil report and has died, you won't enter. You won't see it. Their minds were corrupt. Praise the Lord. How do you see situations? I've said this time and again. The first step to conquering a difficult situation is how you see it. Are you following me? Yes. Anytime you are going through trying times, the first key to dealing with it is, how do you see that problem? The way you see the problem can decide if you will conquer it. They said to Moses, we saw them, we were like grasshoppers. And God said these people wouldn't go far. You had to kill all of them. Perspective. How you see a problem is the first key to solving the problem. How you see it, perspective. I've shared this with you before. The story was told about two men or groups of men who were sent to Africa at a time where no one wore shoes. When they sent the first set, they got there and they saw everybody was barefooted. And they ran back and said, nobody's wearing shoe. This thing won't sell here. Nobody's using it. Is that a view? Yes, it's a view. It's a perspective. They said, nobody is wearing this thing. It won't sell. And after a while, they sent another group. They got down again. They saw everybody was on 10 toes. They shouted, market. Market. If everybody is on 10 toes, if we bring this thing here, market. What is the difference? How they saw the situation. How you see a problem is as equally as important as the problem itself. And that's why God told Jeremiah, what seest thou? What do you see? Because God knows that how you see a thing is important. When you are going through tough times, how do you see situations? How do you see yourself? Do you look at yourself and say to yourself, I cannot handle this situation. This thing is too tough for me to handle. Then it becomes a limiting factor in your life. That is why you need to renew your mind and begin to think the way God thinks and begin to see the way God sees. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The moment your minds are renewed and you see things from God's perspective and you think through God's perspective, then you are set to dealing with a problem. But the moment you look at yourself and say like the 10 spies, we are not able, then that's the end of it. Friends, if you are going to get through tough times, renew your minds. Renew your minds. Renew your minds. Praise the Lord. Get your mind renewed. See things the way God sees it. Approach things the way God approaches it. Then it will be a step to your victory. Let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. Let's use that as our anchor scripture verse. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Hallelujah. How you think influences how you feel and what you believe. Your belief is always a function of how you think. Are you following me? The reason many times you believe you have failed, you can't succeed in life, is because of how you think. And there is no person, Dr. Mike Murdock will say, failure is an event. It is not a person. That's the words of Dr. Mike Murdock. He says, failure is not a person. Failure is what? An event. It is something that happens. It's not an individual. So no matter how many times you have failed in life, you have tried something and never succeeded, never believe you are a failure. Failure is an event. It is something that happened to you 100 times. You are not the failure. Touch yourself and say, "I am not a failure." Come on, say it louder. "I am not a failure." No matter how many times you have failed, you have done things and not succeeded, don't ever believe you are a failure. Don't. It is your mindset that will tell you what to believe. The moment you begin to think in that direction, people have thought in that direction and they ended up believing that they are failures and they would never succeed. Believe me, it will be hard to break through. I told you the story of 7-Up. That drink was tried, we are told it was tried 7 times. There was a target they had, the manufacturer. The first time he never got the test he wanted. He did it the 4th time, 5th time, 6th time, and then got it on the 7th time. And then he said 7-Up. That was how the name came about. He got what he wanted at the 7th time. And then he said 7-Up. Just like you shout, "Up Nepa." How many of you do that? When the light is back, he said, "Hey, Up Nepa." The man got it the 7th time. And he shouted, "7-Up." And that was the name. Today you drink it with excitement. You never knew where it began from. Friends, you may try many times, but don't ever believe you're a failure. No matter what it is that goes wrong around you, renew your mind. Think the way God thinks. See yourself the way God sees you. Believe you are able to break through that mountain. You are able to scale through in life. And friends, you will scale through. Hallelujah. And let me end with saying, offer praise and thanksgiving. Offer praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Anytime we are going through tough times, if we are going to keep faith, we need to keep offering praise and thanksgiving to God. The devil doesn't understand it when things are not working as you planned, as you scheduled, and then you are full of praise and thanksgiving. The natural thing the devil would have expected is that when things begin to move in a wrong direction, for you to begin to murmur and complain. And even as the wife of Job would say to him, "Curse God and die." That would have been the devil's expectation. But Job was full of thanksgiving. He kept praising God. Even when there was nothing that he could testify about, Job was praising God. Have you been there before where there is nothing to testify about that people can see, and yet you are full of thanksgiving? Praise the Lord. We must live a life of thanksgiving. Keep offering praise and thanks to God. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's not confuse that scripture verse. The Bible says, in everything do what? What is the scripture encouraging us to do? To give thanks in every situation. That it is God's will that in every situation we do what? Give thanks. Not that the situation is God's will. Are you following me? Are you following me? It is God's will that in every situation we do what? Give thanks. Not necessarily that every situation is God's will. No. Even when things are not working well, it is God's will that we do what? Give thanks. Praise God. I've always told you, things can get worse. If you don't know why you should thank God because things can do what? Get worse. Even while you are complaining that things are too bad, friends, you should rather be thanking God in the midst of that situation. Because that thing you are complaining of, it can get worse. The story was told about a man who was murmuring because he never had shoes to wear until he met someone who never had feet. Then he began to thank God that he didn't have shoes. So it's better for you that you don't have shoes to wear than you don't have feet. Am I right? Yes. While he was murmuring there was no shoe, he met someone who had no feet. So he went back into thanksgiving and began to thank God for his problem. You know, some of you must need to go back and begin to thank God for your problem. Because even that problem you think is too much, believe me, if problems were like materials or clothes, you may be spraying a handkerchief of problem and you are murmuring until you look around and see somebody who has come with bedsheet. Then you thank God for the small one you have. You begin to thank God for the small one. Because things can get worse. There are benefits when we praise and give thanks in adverse situation. One, it encourages us. When you learn to be thankful and praise God in an adverse situation, it does what? Encourages you. Are you aware of that? Yes. When you are thankful and praising God in a difficult situation, it gives you some measure of courage inwardly than when you are murmuring and complaining. Are you following me? The moment you are murmuring and complaining, you can't receive any encouragement at all. Two, it drives the enemy out. The devil is so confused when we are praising God, even when things are not working well. The devil is so confused. The devil is so confused. And lastly, it pleases God. When we thank God in the midst of adverse situation, it pleases who? God. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. So we should learn to offer praise and thanksgiving to God in the midst of any situation we find ourselves. We need to. It's not a time to complain. It's not a time to murmur or question God why your mates have done this, why your mates have achieved the other, and to you it seems as there is nothing happening around you. It's rather a time to look inward and give Him praise and trust God that God will perfect that which concerns you. Friends, the scripture says there is hope for a tree when it is cut down, that even by the scent of water it will bud. I don't know where you are at this point and what your expectations are, but as long as you are alive, there is hope. I always say this: the fact that I'm alive is an indication that God is not yet through with me. Did you hear what I just said? When I sleep and I wake up, no matter how things are around me, I say to myself, the fact that I am alive is an indication that God is not yet through with me. The scripture says a living dog is better than a dead lion. Once there is life, there is hope. Once there is life, there is hope. Believe God that that situation will change. And I dare you to trust God you will see it happen in your lifetime. Rise to your feet and lift your voice and begin to talk to God. Trust God in adverse situation. Trust God when things are not working as you plan. Trust God. Give Him praise even when all hope seems against you. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Friends, in the midst of trying or hard times, learn to trust God. Learn to praise Him. Learn to appreciate Him. Even though you have not seen your expectation come to pass, even though you have not seen that your heart desire fulfilled, but keep thanking Him and you will see a change. Can we lift our voice in thanksgiving this morning and just begin to appreciate the Lord? He has kept you alive. He has kept you alive. It is something to thank Him for.